off center enough, Darren. Just give me 2 more seconds. All right, lovely. All right, well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have so many faces here, by the way, this morning. So good to see so many smiles, and it feels like we're slowly getting more back to normal, which is nice. But I'm actually really excited to bring the message this morning because I feel like it's been ages. So just excited to get back and back into it. So really pumped to bring the word. So that's really, really cool. Let me just quickly maybe pray for us, and then we might get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you so much thanks so we can be your church here at Kays Beach, Swansea. Lord, we just pray as we get into today's message, a couple of hard things to talk about, but Lord, we just pray that your word will be going through me, that you'll use me as a bridge this morning. But Lord, we just thank you for all that are here and those that are on Zoom right now, YouTube, whatever we're on this morning. We just pray that you can just guide us, open our ears and our minds as well as we listen to what you have to say for us. And we just pray we'll be challenged as well. We pray this in your name. Amen. Awesome. Too easy. Now I'm really loud now. That's cool. Okay, so I'll try to stay at center and not wander as much so I'm not annoying for everybody else on the online, so I'll do my best. But I was through this week, I was actually, you know when you're sitting at home, you're just like, I feel like watching something, so you start scrolling through Netflix and Disney Plus or Stan, whatever you might have. So I was in that sort of a dilemma. I was scrolling through trying to find something to watch, whatever that might look like. I was looking for a good movie and so forth, and then I was scrolling through Stan, and did you know they've got a James Bond list? How awesome is that? So I was just like, yeah, because this James Bond, like, that always entertains you, right? So I was like, James Bond, no worries. So I'm going through, and then I had the dilemma of trying to pick which James Bond movie I wanted to watch. So I'm going through James Bond, Slow and Steady, starting from the old classics to the new ones. And then I got to Skyfall. How good is Skyfall? Jumped on Skyfall, watched Skyfall, James Bond, fantastic. Just good action, good villain, sort of an emotional sort of twist all through it, all different things. What a blessing. I just loved it. So we might just go to the first slide. So I don't know if you remember this scene in the chase, if the slide comes up. There it is. How good's that? Like, that's what you want on TV. Like, see James Bond there, he's jumping into a destroyed train carriage. There's a Jeep. Like, how good's that? There's an excavator destroying VWs. Like, this is just amazing. And it's high-paced, like it's going for it. But what I love about this chase we see in Skyfall, it's just awesome because you see James instantly has a moral dilemma. So you see him going through this house and he sees his mate there. I've already forgotten his name, but he's sitting there, he's bleeding out, and the people over his comm, so like M and all those, if you know who M is on James Bond, I'm sure you would. Yeah, she's like, no, don't worry about him. You need to go chase after the bad guy. He's just like, no, but he's here. I can help him. And he's just like, no, you need to go and chase after this villain. So he has this moral dilemma. He has to leave his mate. He runs off, and all of a sudden there's this epic chase. Like, there's cars going everywhere, motorbike chase. It's everything you'd want in a car chase, like any chase. It's just awesome. I loved it. I was so excited. I was just on the edge of my seat, just like, yes, this is the best. But we all just love a good chase, don't we? Any movie, I don't know if you know that old classic, Is a Bullet? What a chase that is in that movie. Like, there's just some great chases. We all have a movie that we're just like, man, that chase scene is definitely the best. We're always going to be challenged there. But sometimes we have things that we chase for in life, don't we? We all love a chase, but sometimes we chase after things that aren't really best for us. So today we're going to talk about that. If we go to the next slide, I love this image of Indiana Jones. When I think of like the person like, chasing after something, this is the first image I get of Indiana Jones like getting his idol, and it doesn't go real well for him there, but that's okay. But at the moment we're going through a series on Jeremiah, and we find ourselves sort of in chapter 8 and 9, and we see this sort of section on this nation that has done the wrong thing. And we see Jeremiah in absolute grief and sorrow from what's happened. So Israel, in the early part of chapter 8, is seen chasing after a number of things that have caused them to turn away from God. We see they've rejected God's laws, they've acted shamefully and sort of committed abominations against him, which is some pretty strong language, right, isn't it? So we see this in verses 5 to 9. We then get to the section of scripture that we're looking at today from verse 19, and we see, why have they aroused my anger with images? with their worthless foreign idols. We see Israel is chased after all their own desires, their own pleasures, instead of enjoying God and chasing after good things. So we just go to the next slide, Sam. So Olivia and I were pretty blessed to go to Israel at the start of the year. Just an incredible place. This is one of the most beautiful places we visited. So this is Caesarea Philippi. You can see just the beauty in that, right? Just incredible, incredible place. And there was just so many places. It was almost like a photograph. Just looking at it was gorgeous. But this place was known, you'd know, you would have heard this place a few times in your Bible, but this place was known to be like the center of like foreign gods and all that sort of thing. You can see that cave in the background. So that was where they sort of sacrificed goats to Pan, who was one of the sort of popular gods back then. Baal was also worshipped here and a lot of others. So this was like kind of the popular place to worship these popular idols and different things. So you would imagine if you're in this town, so go back like 3,000 years maybe ago, 2,000 years, you'd be like walking around and people would be coming up to you like, bro, I've got like the best goat sacrificed to Pan today. It's like literally mint condition. It's going to be phenomenal. Like get excited and just imagine you have a guy like, bro, that's awesome. Like it's going to be incredible. Like, man, I'm so, like, you're going to be so blessed because you've got this goat. Like it's going to be awesome. You take him to that cave and sacrifice this goat into the water and sort of fall into the abyss. I don't know sort of how it worked, but they probably didn't talk like that, but you sort of get what I mean. Like there was this popular sort of aside, and it was so easy to get caught into that popularity and so far of how it looked like. There's constantly I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I read like the Old Testament, I'm like, man, Israel, like you're just so stupid. Like look at all the cool stuff God was doing, and how can you, like, after seeing those incredible miracles, you've seen Jesus, and you just keep turning away. Like, what the heck? Like, what are you doing? But we can really put that on ourselves, and God's doing great work today still, and so forth. But we had these popular things, just like Israel had these popular things, that would turn us away and start taking our focus on other things. We start chasing after the wrong things. So if we just go to the next slide, I just thought of idols and thought of good old Abu that was going through there. But I was speaking to someone the other day just about smartphones and sort of we live in the world where sort of smartphones sort of rule supreme, right? Like you sort of go anywhere, you always see them. Every day, if you don't see a smartphone, I'd be very shocked. But we visit, if you walk around the streets, if you go to a bus stop or something, you'll see people constantly just on their phones. It's sort of just become this habit. Almost like a safety thing. Like if you go to the Boffia or the Mawson, our local cafes at Kays Beach, as soon as you see someone order their coffee, instantly they'll get their phone out and they'll sort of be on it and they'll be like, yep, I'm popular. Whatever that might look like. But they generally will see that as their safety thing, right? These phones have sort of just taken our attention and captivated us and all these different things. And I'm not saying that smartphones are bad because, man, there's some great things that iPhones give for us. There's even great ways to explore different things with our spiritual life, right? You've got daily devotions, all these awesome apps that you can use for good things in our life. But when it starts becoming a priority and takes us away from like family or time with God, that's when it's starting to become a bit of a concern, right? There are many idols in our culture that we're fighting for our attention. You've got Facebook, YouTube, hobbies, all these different things. Like I could literally sit up here and just rattle a list for ages. But there's all these worldly desires that we chase after that take our attention away from God, right? If we just go to the next slide, Sam. So chasing idols never goes well. So I don't know if you remember what happens to Abu after he takes that massive diamond, which looks awesome, or whatever it is. The whole cave goes, explodes into the Disney movie. It just does not go well for Aladdin and Abu until they meet the legendary genie. But when we chase after idols, it never goes well, does it? Never goes well. And what I find actually really cool about that James Bond movie, Skyfall, is in that chase scene, like, as amazing as it is, he's running along and he's almost got the bad guy. They're fighting on that bridge on the train. And all of a sudden, the bad guy loses. Did you find that interesting in that Skyfall? That, like, usually the end of a chase scene is always really good, the hero wins. But in Skyfall, James Bond gets shot and then falls into this ravine. And chasing after the thing that he was after doesn't go well for him. So I guess, how do we stop this from happening? How do we change our agenda when we're chasing after things that we shouldn't be? And I guess the big thing there for me that jumped out was accountability and relationships. So accountability, having someone in your life to say, look, mate, I think you're on your iPhone a bit too much. Like, maybe, like, is that distracting you? What's going on there? Maybe put it away for a bit and enjoy this time with family. Or, look, is that affecting your time with God? Whatever that might be, that accountability, having someone in your life that can say, look, you know what, you're probably doing the wrong thing there. Let's maybe have a bit of a range here. Let's have a think about how we can change that up so you can have a better life. And focus on the real things, right? Start chasing after those good things in life. And so accountability. And the second one is relationship. So a relationship with God. So instead of chasing after those good things, chase after godly things. That's what we want to be doing. So instead of getting on your phone maybe and playing Clash of Clans or whatever game apps you might be playing or whatever it might be, social media, whatever it might be, instead maybe jump on the Bible app and have a read. All those different things. So let's try and chase after those godly things and building our relationship with God, focusing on righteousness instead of those other things that are distracting and taking our lives away. I can't remember, I saw a survey through the week, and the amount of time we spent on phones and social media and all these things is just incredible compared to what we spend in our lives with God. So let's maybe have a refresh. Maybe today's the day to change that in your life today. If we just go to the next slide, that would be awesome. Thank you. So we sort of come to this core part of our scripture now where we see like this emotion in Jeremiah and God, really. It's sort of a debate where Jeremiah's talking, where God's talking, and then the people are talking through this verse. It can be a bit confusing, but we see this incredible language that starts popping out here. We see, look at some of this language just in this first sort of section. Arouse my anger, weep, fountain of tears, wail, weary. Like, these are descriptive, powerful words, right, that Jeremiah and God are talking about when it's talking about Israel. These are powerful, and they should affect us when we read them. Like, weep and wail, like, they're big and powerful, and like, yeah, I don't know if you've heard someone wail before, but like, it's full on. So God and Jeremiah here are clearly heartbroken about what's going on with the actions of their people. We see a number of things Israel have done in this passage. We see that they're called adulterers, they're called liars, deceivers, lawbreakers, unfaithful. Jeremiah and God are broken, and the nation of Judah have disobeyed and rejected God and chased after their own things. If we just go to the next slide. So today, it's not too hard to turn the TV on, right, and see the world is broken and chasing after its own agenda. This week, I turned the news on for the first time in ages. I've been avoiding it because it's just been making me depressed. But the first time in ages, and I saw riots and protests around the world, like that Black Lives Matter and all that. I'm not saying that I'm fully against a lot of that, but at the same time, we need to be careful of how this all looks. The next segment was all on COVID-19 and how that's affecting jobs, all these different things around the world, illness, sickness, death, all in that. And there was a car accident, there was drug issues. And then about 25 minutes in, I was just like, you know what, I'm done from this. I turned the TV off because I was starting to feel distressed. Our world is so broken and lost that every day we face all this stuff's right in our face, right? Every day. In verse 19, we read, is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Here we see that Jeremiah seems to be starting to doubt God. Is he really there for his people? God is supposed to be in Zion, which is Israel, if you weren't too sure what I was talking about there. As God tells them that it's his dwelling place, like he dwells in Israel. But right here, Jeremiah's just like, where is God? He's real. Where is he? Like, I just don't get it. Like, how can we have fallen this short? God seems to have gone walkabout, I like to sort of say. Like, he's just gone off and he's just disappeared. Jeremiah senses the absence of God. Sometimes we feel the same way, right? When we're going through, see a terror in the world, like a tsunami or a terrorist attack maybe, or we feel hopelessness in our own life and we just feel, what's going on here? Most of us instantly think, has God abandoned me, or is there even a God at all? I relate to this so well, and I find it really ironic that I keep getting these sort of sermons about life and struggle over the last year. But I relate to this so well, because so many times last year, Liv and I had some huge struggles, and there was points when we were like, has God abandoned us? Like, we're here doing his work, and what's going on here? We felt alone and helpless, just like Jeremiah, who was called to look after Israel, or be a prophet to Israel. I think we all go through these times, right? We all go through these times. It's normal. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to doubt. I think it actually strengthens our faith and challenges ourselves to think, where is God in this? When we see that natural disaster, we're like, okay, where's God in this? And we can see God working in the Salvation Army. We can see him working for the SES, all these different people that are in there saving people, saving lives, and loving people, praying for people. We see churches praying over that horrible thing that's just happened. So we see God in that stuff still. But still, straight in mind, we say, where is God in this? But I think it's good to question that, because it strengthens our faith and says, you know what? Yeah, God, that may have happened, but this is my chance to be a witness in this scenario and tell people who God really is. That he's all about love. He's all about grace. And he loves you, and he's there for you. But sometimes our anxiety and fear can be a bit strong, can't it? If we go to the next slide. We just did that awesome series, Anxious About Nothing, and looked at calm, didn't we? So celebrate, ask, leave, and meditate. To help us remember to bring God into these times of struggle, right? God will never abandon you, even through those sort of hard times, even when we feel like he has. When we fall into these times, like Jeremiah, we need to remember calm. We need to celebrate, we need to ask for help, and we need to meditate on his word. This passage of Jeremiah is an ancient lament of what is happening in his sort of lifetime, which is so relevant to what we're doing, to what's happening in ours today. Just as Jeremiah weeps over the actions of his neighbours and nation, we should be doing the same. Last Thursday, I grabbed the local paper. Everyone's probably like, why has Luke got a newspaper up the front? He's just going to start reading it halfway through the sermon. I'm not. I'm just going to show it to you and so forth. But in the first six pages of this paper, the first one was on 7th attack on police in the Hunter. So that's in our area, 7th attack on police. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Jobs were lost. Domain had $500 off cooktops, but I'm sure that doesn't really matter. But then we had smuggler raid, boozy cakes, and parenting mistakes. Like, the first six pages were all pretty grim. All very grim. It's not hard to see our world is broken. And it should affect us, because it's not how things are supposed to be. If you read through the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis, you'll see that God had something else in mind. God had this idea of this perfect world and all that, and then all of a sudden sin enters the world and things change. We see the first murder, lies, deception. We see lust and sexual immorality, which gets a firm grip of the world. And unfortunately, our hearts and desires, right? And when we see sin gripping onto the world and people, as believers, our response should be emotional. Sin should make us uncomfortable and feel uneasy, just like Jeremiah. When we get to verse 22, we see Jeremiah's alarm bells sort of increase and his emotion increases even more. And he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? So I don't know if you know much about Gilead, but Gilead was known as one of the richest and most fertile land in all of Israel. You might know the region from when Gideon fought the Midianites. It was also home of the prophet Elijah. But what we do know as well is that there was this resin on this tree that had like these healing remedies, and they sort of make it into this balm or paste. Today we actually believe it might be the American poplar, which is used to make cough syrup and other things, which is really, really cool. So yes, we know for a fact that there was a balm in Gilead, and we know there was physicians there, as it was a town. However, they were unable to help the sickness of sin that took over the land. And Jeremiah begins to be more distressed, and he sees his depression and sadness just overcome him. If we just go to the next slide, thanks, Sam. In the New Testament, we see this like a pretty similar case with Paul. So let me read from Philippians 3. I've just got it up there as well, I think. Nope, it is gone. That's okay. So verse 17 says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Therefore, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Isn't this relating to what we're reading today? "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Saviour from there." Amen. "Our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be made glorious, like his glorious body." I don't even need to preach, we can just read Paul, right? How good's that? So the world has its mind on all these earthly things, so as Paul and Jeremiah both weep, we should also weep and be emotional as well. I think it's a good reminder that as well that God is emotional and weeping over these things too. God's up there, sad, emotional over when we see things going wrong. We need to crave the day when Jesus returns and restoration comes, right? We need to be those glimpses of the kingdom now. So in this sadness, these broken parts of the world, we need to say, like, this is what heaven's going to be like. Let me show you love. Let me show you joy. Let me show you peace. Let me show you kindness. How can we be these advocates of the kingdom in this broken world, but also cry over it? When we see poverty, bullying, disease, famine, broken relationships, lies and deceit, we need to be full of empathy and compassion. How can you be that empathy and compassion in this broken world? In a moment, we're going to sing that beautiful song, Hosanna. And there's that beautiful lyrics in that, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." When we see things that are broken in this world, the heart should be broken. But we should also be spurred on to do something about it. When we see a car accident on the side of the road, we should be jumping out saying, "Look how you're going, can I pray for you?" Liv shared me this beautiful story of these people she watches on YouTube, and they're Christians, and they were both riding a bike, and they got hit by a car, and they went flying. It was a 50 metres, Liv. 50 metres, like that car's flying to throw someone 50 metres. And they both land next to each other, and all these people were running up, and they were just praying the whole time. And I think the people were praying as well. We need to be taking these times of brokenness and turning them into times where God can show his glory, right? So I guess how we can do this more practically as well for us is through prayer, through acts of kindness and generosity, and remembering our citizenship in heaven, right? We're all citizens of heaven. We should be showing what heaven's going to be like. Be those glimpses in our society, in our community, which is advocates of love, kindness, generosity. And we need to be praying and showing them a relationship with Jesus, right?